Luke chapter 2, I want to talk to you about the shepherds tonight. We'll begin in verse number 8, Luke chapter 2, verse number 8. The Bible says, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. Lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. It came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them." Heavenly Father, thank you for the reading of the Bible. May we learn some lessons tonight that will serve us well in the coming year. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I believe these shepherds were among the most privileged men in all of the Bible. If you just think through what we just read, what they were privy to, what they got to see, what they got to hear. They saw the angel of the Lord. Now, a lot of times that phrase, the angel of the Lord, refers to the Lord Jesus Christ. But obviously, there are times when it does not. In the book of Revelation, several times we see the angel of the Lord, and it refers to one of the archangels. So I'm not sure which angel this was, but they got to see what I've never seen. They saw the glory of God. Now, I don't even know how to describe that. There's just a few places in the Bible where God pulled back the curtains and allowed people to see the supernatural glory of Almighty God, just a glimpse of it. But these men got to see it that night. They heard the glad tidings of great joy. They were the first to receive the news of Christ's birth. They were given a divine sign from God. Hey, you can look for this specifically. They're going to wrap the babe in swaddling clothes. And so they received a sign from the Lord. They saw a multitude of heavenly hosts, not just the angel of the Lord, but then the sky lit up as God sent, I don't know how many, but he filled the sky with, the Bible says, a heavenly host praising and glorifying God. You know what? I've tried to imagine it. But all I can do is try to imagine it. You know why? Because I've never seen it. But they saw it. They were the first to lay eyes on the newborn child. Except for Mary and Joseph, these were the first to lay eyes on the newborn Christ. They were the first to spread the news that the Messiah had come. I mean, think of all of that they were allowed to partake of, to see, to hear, to be involved with. Their hearts were full to overflowing, and we close it out in verse 20 where it says, "And the shepherds returned, glorifying, praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them." And you know what? There was a part of me that just says, you know what? They sure were lucky. They sure were lucky. They were just, preacher, they were just fortunate to be at the right place at the right time. But aren't you glad that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable? And as I began to study this, I thought, well, okay, lucky, fortunate, maybe. But I think the Bible gives us some principles that will help us to see some things in 2023 that others are not allowed to see. To hear some things that maybe others will not hear. Watch this. And to experience some miracles that others do not experience. And so I'm going to preach on this subject tonight. How to be in on the miracles. How to be in on the miracles. Is it just luck? Is it just good fortune? I read one verse. I mean, all of our points is coming from verse number 8. Let me read it to you. "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night." I'm not sure that they were lucky. I think God chose them for specific reasons. Let me give you those reasons. Number one, these shepherds were, here's the phrase, in the same country. In the same country. Now, I begin to look at that and look up the root word there and look at the definition. And it means sharing a coast or sharing a county or sharing a field or a piece of ground, sharing a region or a piece of land. We would say it this way. Well, they were in the same neighborhood. They were just in the same neighborhood. Now, let me just say this. If you want to be in on the miracles on a regular basis, you know what? Wherever Jesus is, I just want to be in the same neighborhood. If you ask me, put me on the spot and say, preacher, have you always been in the center of God's will? I'm afraid I'd have to drop my head and say, probably not. But then I could look up and smile and say, you know, maybe not always in the center, but by the grace of God, I've been able to stay in the same neighborhood as the will of God. You see, folks, I want to be as close to God and close to the Lord as I can. There were no doubt all over the Middle East that night, many shepherds. And there were no doubt shepherds who were awake, shepherds who were on watch, shepherds who were faithfully doing their job. But you know what? They didn't get to experience this. You know why? Because the problem was they were not in the same country. And the angel sought out somebody that was in the same country, in the same neighborhood where the miracles were happening. Now, folks, listen to me. Let me simplify it for us. Hey, let me just encourage each and every one of you. And the will of God for you isn't the will of God for me and vice versa. But find the will of God, the place of His will for your life. Stay close to the Lord, as close as you can be, as close as you can get in 2020. Spend your life in the same neighborhood where the miraculous happens on a regular basis. You might be surprised the opportunities that God gives you by just being in the same country, just by hanging in the will of God and hanging around the will of God. I look back and I was thinking of my college days and some of the opportunities that I had been given. And I believe people could stand up and give testimony to this tonight, that a lot of the opportunities and a lot of the open doors that the Lord has given you and a lot of the opportunities to be a part of a miracle was not because you pre-planned it. These shepherds didn't pre-plan it, but just because you were there, just because you showed up. I can't help but think of Jacob when he said this, and I being in the way, the Lord led me. And I said, Lord, I guess I just want to be in the way. I just want to be around. I just want to be available. If you need it, I want to be there. I remember attending a bus meeting, and by the way, of which I was going to have no part. But you know what? I told you here the other day, man, my dad taught me if you aren't there 30 minutes early, you're late. That's why the way we were trained. So no matter what the meeting was, I always came early. And I always came early, not just because of dad's training, but I found out this. There's always hymnals that need to be straightened. Come on, there's always some paper that can be picked up off the floor. There's always a few seats that might need straightened up. And I was in the process of just showing up early, and those that were going to conduct the service that night were up on the platform and talking through the order of service. And I heard a voice holler from the platform, hey, is that Jerry Ross? And I looked up and said, yes, sir. And he said, get down here. And the director of the bus ministry was calling me down there. And I thought, well, he's found a little job he needs done. And I walked up and he said, don't you lead singing in Daryl Moore's division? And I said, yes, sir, I'd lead singing. Now, you got to understand, the bus division I led singing in was about 40 people, you know. So, yeah, I can stand in front of 40 people and lead singing. And he said, well, my song leader ended up going down sick tonight. Here's the list of songs. You got 15 minutes. Be ready. And 15 minutes later, folks, I was standing in front of 1,500 people leading singing at a meeting that I didn't plan on leading singing at. And you know what? I said, preacher, boy, I tell you what, you were lucky. You were fortunate. And by the way, can I say this? Were there a lot of other people in that room that was a better song leader than Jerry Ross? Yes. Well, then why did you get the opportunity? I being in the way the Lord led me. You know what? Because I just hung out in the right neighborhood. And I believe that each and every one of you are going to find out that if you'll just be where you're supposed to be, if you'll just be in the will of God, if you'll just stay involved in the will of God, You'd be surprised at the opportunities. I heard about when I was in Bible college, they were having services at the rescue mission on Friday night. I wasn't working Friday nights at that time. And I said, you know what? I'm just going to go down there, sit with some of those men, get to know them, try to be a blessing. And I attended one or two or three times and just sat in the back. And you know what? Just kind of was there. And all of a sudden, the fourth time I came, one of the men that ran the rescue mission came back and said, are you one of them preacher boys at the college? Yes. Yes, sir, I am. Well, the preacher called off 5 minutes ago, and I need a preacher, so you're preaching tonight. And you know what my dad had taught me? Always, if you're called to preach, young men, you keep your gun loaded, amen? And so I always kept a sermon or two, and I thought to myself, oh, my goodness sakes, I'm probably the most unqualified person in the world to preach in a rescue mission. But you know what? I preached that night to rescue mission. And you know what? That gracious rescue mission director, you know what he did? He liked the way I preach, and I became a regular preacher at the rescue mission. Boy, they sure are lucky. They sure are fortunate. You know what? I being in the way, the Lord led me. You know why? It was these shepherds and not other shepherds that night that got all of these incredible opportunities. Let me tell you why. Because they were in the same country. Number two, the Bible says these shepherds were abiding in the field. I looked up that little phrase, abiding in the field, and it means to camp out. Think about that. They didn't just find the will of God and spend a short amount of time there. They didn't just find the will of God and spend a portion of their life there. They decided to pitch their tent in the place of God's will. They drove their tent stakes in the place of God's will. Let me put it this way. They found God's will and camped out there. Now think about this. They spent a lot of nights there in that same country. And not all those nights camping out on the field yielded some miraculous visit. There were many a cold night, come on, with no angelic visitation, no new revelation, no earth-shattering news, not a new message to carry. But you know what? They abode in the will of God. If you were to ask me, preacher, as you have spent the last several months preparing for the 50th anniversary and going back through the records and going back through the old photos, if you were to ask me, what's the hardest thing about going through the pictures of the last 50 years, I would be honest with you and I would tell you this. The hardest part's been looking at the pictures of those who at one time were camping out in the will of God, but decided to pull up stakes and leave the will of God and the place of God's blessings and God's miracles. You know, I cannot help but think of the miracles that they've missed. And by the way, I want you to understand this. I understand that Blessed Hope Baptist Church isn't the will of God for everybody, and I don't judge the will of God by whether or not a person's in this church or not in this church. But I can tell you this, the people that have left Blessed Hope Baptist Church, not to go to another good church, but the people that have left Blessed Hope Baptist Church to go out into the world and to begin to live a life that is contrary to the Word of God, let me tell you something, they did leave the will of God for their life. They left the will of God. So you know what? These shepherds got to see some miraculous. How do you be in on the miracles? Hey, young people, you want to be on the miracle, in on the miracles? When you turn 18 years of age, you know what? Just ignore that number 18 because it has nothing to do with whether or not you have permission now to go out into the world. Just ignore that 21st birthday where sometimes some foolish Christian young people decide now's the time to go out into the world and now I can do this and now I can do that. Just find the will of God and drive your stakes deep in the will of God. And camp out there for the rest of your life. Say, preacher, will every month be easy? No. Will every week yield some miraculous memory? No. But I will tell you this. If you'll camp out there, you'll accumulate a lifetime of stories to tell. Because sooner or later, because you are where you're supposed to be, you're going to see some things that nobody else gets to see. You're going to hear some things that nobody else gets to hear. You're going to get to experience some miracles that nobody else will experience if they pull up stakes and leave the will of God. Amen. And then we see this little phrase here that they were keeping watch over their flock. These shepherds were keeping watch over their flock. How do you be in on the miracles? Stay faithful in doing whatever job's given, whatever job God has given you to do. And again, you know what? They were faithful. I told you the hardest part of going through the 50-year history of Blessed Hope Baptist Church, I told you what that was. Preacher, what is the most encouraging part of going through all the old pictures? You know what? Seeing people that have been faithful year in, year out. Come on. Their faithfulness is measured not in years, but in decades. I mean that. It offsets the sorrow of my heart. The unfaithfulness of some people. What offsets the sorrow of that of your heart on that? To see the faithfulness of those that, you know what? They've been watching the flocks for a long time. God's given them responsibility. God's given them something to do. I went through some papers just the other day. I asked our church members, passed out papers, information sheets, and I said, just write down what ministries you've been involved with and how many years you've been involved in those ministries. And folks, I will tell you, by the time I got done going through that thing two or three times, I found myself in tears as I thought to myself, these people, some of these people have been doing the same thing for 10 years. For 15 years, folks, listen to me, for 20 years, for 25 years, listen, for 30 years and 35 and 40 and some for 45 years. You know what? Every single night, they just get up and say, you know what my job is? My job is to watch the flock. And if that's my job, I'm going to be faithful in doing it. Let me give you this last thing. Say, you want to be in on the miracles? How do you get in on the miracles, preacher? These shepherds were awake when everyone else was asleep. I like that. They were awake when everyone else was asleep. It says that they were keeping watch over their flock by night. Now, you know what? I believe that I don't have to convince any Christian that's in this room that has any measure of spiritual discernment. I don't have to spend any time convincing you that we're not just in the last days. We're in the last of the last days. And you know what? The proverbial clock, I think, is ticking very close to midnight. Now, some of you young people won't understand this, but everybody past a certain age, I won't have to explain this. But you know what? I will tell you this, that the closer that the clock gets to midnight, the more tired I get. And you say, preacher, how? A New Year's Eve. Well, this New Year's Eve, how are you going to ring in the new year? I'm going to sleep it in. You know why? Because that's what I've been doing for the last several years, sleeping it in. I stayed awake for the first 55, 57, 58. Nothing too spectacular happened, so I decided I'd just start going to bed, you know. But listen to me, the closer the clock gets to midnight, listen, the tireder we get. You know what? I admire third shift workers. Now think about this. I have a special place in my heart for those who work while the vast majority of the world is asleep. And you know, if I'm out on door-to-door visitation, I knock on the door on a Saturday, you know, 10, 11 o'clock, and somebody comes to the door and you can tell I woke them up, a man or a woman. And I'll almost always say the same thing. I'll bet you're a third shift worker. And 9 out of 10 times I'm right. I'll be honest with you. I know that our jobs go out on knock on doors. And man, I wish third shift workers would put a little sign on their door saying, third shift worker, please don't knock. But if I knock on the door and I wake up a third shift worker, you know, for the most part, they're always kind. But I feel terrible about it. You say, why? Because I spent 6 years of my life working third shift. And I will tell you, you know what, no matter how much sleep you got before you go in, there's something about that clock getting near the middle of the night, come on, in those early morning hours, that your body has more sense than your brain, and it says you're supposed to be asleep right now. Well, let me just say this, folks. One of the challenges of living in the last days, the last of the last days, and by the way, we are the ones that God has chosen to put in that situation. One of the challenges is that it's easy to become weary in well-doing, because you know what? Things are waxing worse and worse. And you know what? We're seeing less and less of the miraculous happen. Not because it can't happen, but we're just getting close to the time where, you know what? The trumpet's going to sound and we're going to be out of here. And that's why we read in Galatians 6, 9, these kind of verses. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And I want to say to those of us that are watching the news and we're seeing the way the world has turned, and Lord, we're seeing good called evil and evil called good. And every time we stand up for what is right and stand for righteousness, it seems like there's fewer and fewer that's willing to stand beside us. Let me just say this. You know what? If you want to see the miraculous, you want to be in on the last day miracles, then don't fall asleep. Come on, preacher, I'm tired. All right, let's just be tired till the trumpet sounds. You know what? I preached a message one time from this pulpit entitled, "I'm Tired, But I'm Not Weary." And there's a difference between being tired and being weary. Be not weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap as we faint not. There's a reason we read in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, for we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, walking, working not at all, but are busybodies. Now them that are such we command and exhort by the Lord Jesus Christ that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. But ye, brethren, be not weary in well-doing. He said, hey, you're going to notice in the last days there's a lot of Christians not doing what they ought to do. Don't use that as an excuse to join them. Be the exception to the rule. These last days, I think we have the opportunity. Please listen. You say, preacher, maybe we're not seeing as many miracles, but I believe that in these last of the last days, we have the opportunity to see the greatest miracles in all of the history of Christendom. Do you know who will see them? Do you know who will see them? It won't be the majority of the Christians who have spiritually gone to sleep. Come on, it won't be those that have pulled up stakes and gone out into the world. They won't see them. It will be the few tired ones, weary but working, weary but witnessing, weary but praying, weary but preaching, weary but on duty for the Lord. Hey, just show up. Be in your place in 2023. You want to be in on the miracles? Stay as close to the Lord as you can. Find the will of God and drive your stakes deep. Just camp out there. Stay faithful to whatever God has given you to do. And by the way, keep on keeping on. Refuse to fall asleep. When Christ comes, I don't want to be snoozing. I want to be one of the faithful who's found watching for his return. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your blessings. And thank you, dear God, for the short time we've been able to spend here. And Lord, here these men are. Boy, they got to do some things that nobody else got to do. They had some stories to tell. Stories that no one else was privy to, was witness to. And Lord, it wasn't by happenstance. And I don't think we should be using the word fortunate or lucky. I think, Lord, there's some principles here that will help us. So I pray, Lord, that you'll help us above all to be faithful. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.